Welcome back to TechNet Radio. Back for part 6, Keith Mayer and Young Cho show us how to configure Compute Fabric in System Center 2012 SP1 Virtual Machine Manager. In this episode, they show us the process of adding and configuring hosts and clusters like Windows Server, Citrix Zen Server, and VMware vCenter into VMM, as well as how to manage our host resources. Keith, the mic is yours.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to another episode of TechNet Radio. We're in episode 6 of our Build Your Private Cloud series, and today we're going to be talking about configuring your compute fabric with various virtualization hosts. My name is Keith Mayer. I'm an IT Pro Technical Evangelist at Microsoft, and with me today I have Young Chow. Hello, Young. How are you?
Hi, Keith. Hello, everyone. This is Young Chow again from the great state of North Carolina.
And Young is one of my peer technical evangelists. Today we're going to be talking in our series about our building out a private cloud. We'll be looking at configuring compute hosts, configuring compute clusters and host groups, and doing some resource setting on dynamic optimization, host reserves, and whatnot. So some really cool stuff lined up for today. So Young, we've been talking about building out our private cloud with System Center 2012 Service Pack 1 and Windows Server 2012 and Hyper-V Server 2012 and supporting VMware and Citrix Zen in our series so far. How do you feel about our series so far in the private cloud? Is there are we staying pretty well on track?
I like it. And also I see there's a consistency, like every time you started with this slide, because I think it's really important to understand the overall process and the context of it. And I think in previous episode, you started with the storage piece, and then you moved to the network, and now we move to the compute. So these three resource pool, which I mean is the storage pool, the network pool, and the compute pool that we're going to talk about, this is really the three collectively we call it fabric, right? And the way you build fabric, I think you laid it out nicely, is you should have some storage in place first. This is if you have the chance to build it from scratch and you laid out the correct processes and, you know, get your storage in place and then think about the networking, have a plan to begin with, and then laid out your virtual network and all that, and now you're actually moving in all those computing resources and so to form your fabric. So I think that's a great strategy to go.
Yep, definitely. And along the way, as we build out our private cloud, today we're going to be focusing again on System Center 2012 SP1 Virtual Machine Manager to take our compute fabric, which could be, which includes a set of hypervisor hosts, virtualization hosts that could be running on premise, and our compute fabric could also include even resources that are up in the public cloud, like Windows Azure, for instance. But we're going to be using Virtual Machine Manager to bring our virtualization hosts into our fabric, and as we talked about in a prior episode, when we think about System Center 2012 SP1 Virtual Machine Manager, as you mentioned, Young, virtualization hosts are one of our fabric components along with storage and networking. And as we bring in our virtualization hosts, we had talked a little bit about the Virtual Machine Manager agent that gets placed down on those hosts or clustered hosts if they're Windows Server 2012 or 2008 R2 based hosts. And we'll also see how we can go ahead and configure VMware vCenter hosts and ESX or ESXi hosts, as well as Citrix Zen server hosts, and how we manage those. We have a slightly different process from using Virtual Machine Manager agents for doing that piece. So why don't we jump right in and talk about configuring our compute fabric in VMM. And so in Virtual Machine Manager, we're going to be in our fabric area, just like we were in our storage and networking episodes. And we're going to walk through in just a moment the process of adding in virtualization hosts or clusters. So we'll be looking at the process for adding in Windows Server 2008 R2 or 2012 hosts or clusters of hosts running either the full Windows Server operating system or our completely free Hyper-V server, Hypervisor Edition. We'll also see where we can go to add in Citrix Zen server hypervisor hosts and VMware hosts as well. Now for Citrix and for VMware, we have a little different way of managing those hosts once they're added in. Instead of using a VM, a virtual machine manager agent for Citrix Xen Server, we instead have a System Center 2012 integration pack that we and Citrix have worked very closely on jointly developing. And that integration pack really serves as the management layer on our Xen Server hosts for allowing VMM to talk and manage the virtual machines and provisioning of new virtual machines on those Xen Server hosts. For VMware, we have a little different approach, because in the VMware world, there's not really a standard API for being able to talk directly to our ESX or ESXi hosts. So instead, we're leveraging the VMware vCenter server, either the 4.1 or 5.1 editions of vCenter, and that's what VMware provides as a standard management API for then being able to talk to one or more individual or clustered ESX or ESXi hosts. So in the VMware world, we'll see it's actually a two-step process. First, we add our VMware vCenter servers in, and then we add our ESX or ESXi hosts in. But we'll see in the console, in the VMM console, where we do that as well. Once we've added our hosts and clusters, we can organize those hosts and clusters into host groups. Those host groups really form a logical grouping of hosts that could be formed around data center locations, could be formed around business units that are leveraging those hosts for applications. Really, we have a lot of flexibility in how we organize our hosts into various host groups. And at a host group or a host level, we can then put some rules in place for managing the compute resources on those hosts, like cores and memory and whatnot, CPU utilization. So we can set host reserves to reserve a certain amount of capacity for the host itself. We can set dynamic optimization rules that allow VMM to dynamically balance the virtual machines that are spread across those various hosts to try to equalize the utilization across all of our hosts. And we can also create some custom placement rules that align certain virtual machines or virtual machine templates or application service templates to certain collections of host resources as well. So it provides us with a lot of control. We can do the management of these host resources either at a host group level or at an individual host or host cluster level. So Young, what do you think? Is this some good information on configuring our compute fabric?
I think the takeaway from here is really System Center Virtual Machine Manager give you really a comprehensive way of managing a heterogeneous type of virtualization solution platform, right? So it doesn't matter, you have Xen Server, you have, you know, vSphere and all that, you can all bring them in. And I think it's important to think about in the long run, because the data center will grow, the virtual machine, the number of virtual machines will grow. So you gotta have something that you can put in place basically for a long run, right? As opposed to you have different virtualization solution, you need to go through different interface to manage that. That's gonna be a nightmare. So I think Virtual Machine Manager really position very strategically for data center that use that as a single platform to manage heterogeneous type of virtualization solution. And I think in the long run, that definitely you know, it is a winner.
Yep, definitely. No, absolutely. I agree that having a single management platform for managing all of our virtualization hosts, regardless of the underlying operating system or whatnot, is a key differentiator that allows IT pros to really pick and choose the virtualization host platforms that are going to best serve their application resource needs, right? So, yep, definitely. Well, what do you think, Young? Does it make sense for us to jump over into our lab and walk together through the process of adding and configuring our compute fabric in VMM?
Well, if you can show it, why talk about it?
Exactly. Great. Well, so let's jump over to our lab then. So Young, here we are in our lab environment together, and we're looking at the Virtual Machine Manager console. And just like in our prior two episodes, when we were talking about storage and talking about networking, we're in the fabric area. So you'll notice down in our application workspace bars, on our navigation pane, we've got fabric selected. And in the fabric area, today we're going to be focusing in on our compute fabric, which is located under the servers node in our navigation area. And if I expand that out, you'll see that I've got some resources, some host resources that are already added in. So I've got my all hosts group, which is a default host group. If we don't create any of our own host groups to organize our hosts, they'll all fall under all hosts. But under all hosts, I've got a couple host groups already built out. I've got East US with one host inside of that, and West US with one host inside of that as well. And then, as we said a little earlier, these host groups can be used to organize based on physical locations, based on business units or departments or whatnot. We can organize them however we choose. So to see how we create a new host group, let me just go ahead and right-click on my All Hosts node, and you'll see that I've got a Create Host Group choice there. And I'll select Create a New Host Group, and that'll give me a new host group under my All Hosts group. And I'm just going to call that, we've already got East and West, so why don't we call this Northern US. And I'll go ahead and press Enter, and now we've got a new host group in the mix. So now we can add additional hosts or clusters of hosts into that host group. So in order to do that, I could either right-click on my new host group and directly add in additional Hyper-V hosts running either Windows Server 2012 or 2008 R2, either the full edition of Windows Server or the Hyper-V, the free Hyper-V edition of Hyper-V. I can also add in my Xen servers. Assuming that I've already installed that System Center integration pack on those Xen servers, and I can add in my VMware ESX hosts and clusters. So we're going to come back to Citrix and VMware in just a moment. Let's focus in on adding in our Hyper-V hosts and clusters. Now, in addition to right-clicking and selecting Add here, I also have the ability up on my ribbon bar to add my resources in up there as well. So I can go either place and do the same thing. So if we pick Add Hyper-V Hosts and Clusters, that's going to open up the Add Resource Wizard. And it's going to ask us to indicate where our Windows or Hyper-V server hosts are located, whether they're Windows servers in a trusted Active Directory domain to where we're running VMM, whether they're in an untrusted Active Directory domain, whether they're out in a DMZ-type perimeter network. If they're out in a perimeter network, we actually would install normally the VMM agent manually because we probably wouldn't have the ability to get out into that perimeter network from an Active Directory authentication or Windows Server authentication standpoint and then add them in, or whether they're physical computers to be provisioned as virtual machine hosts. So that last option is actually an interesting option. We'll come back to that in a moment. That allows us to do bare metal provisioning of new servers. So literally, we just bring the servers into the data center, do some basic configuration of their onboard baseboard management controllers, plug them into the network and power, and then have them provisioned as a new Hyper-V host from bare metal. So talk about that in a moment as well. So for now, let's leave our first selection that we've got some Windows Server computers that are in a trusted Active Directory domain. So I'll go ahead and click Next, and it'll ask us to specify the credentials that are used to discover and authenticate to those computers. So we can either manually enter domain credentials in that VMM will use to discover and authenticate to those computers, or we can browse out to a predefined account, a run-as account, where we've already put in our domain credentials. And these run-as accounts are really useful because it allows us to define our credentials that VMM is using without necessarily having to expose those credentials to all of the administrators that are using the VMM console. So I'm going to pick my domain admin credentials, click Next, and now I need to tell it, well, where are these Windows Server computers that I want to add in as virtualization hosts? So if I know the computer names, I can simply just type the computer names in one line after the other, or if I don't know the computer name specifically, I can do an Active Directory query. So I can click that second option, click Generate an Active Directory query, and then type in a pattern that matches certain properties like the computer name, the owner, the role, or on the advanced tab, I can pick additional properties. Well, if I know that all of the servers that I wish to use as Hyper-V hosts all begin with a particular naming pattern, in my case, in my lab environment, they all begin with ChemLab HV, I can put ChemLab HV and then a star, and if I click OK, it'll form a query that will pull back all of the computers that have that particular string as their computer name prefix. So now you'll see it actually generated the LDAP query for me, so I didn't have to worry about piping that in manually. Now if I click Next, it'll scan through my Active Directory and look for any of the servers, any of the computer accounts that are in Active Directory that match that naming convention that aren't already added in to my VMM console. And we'll see that there's actually a few machines. We've got a cluster of machines that I can select, and if I had any additional servers, they would be selectable as well. There we go. There's a couple more. So I could select a cluster, I could select a couple individual machines, and be able to push out the VMM agent to all of them. And if the Hyper-V role isn't currently installed, it'll actually install the Hyper-V role and reboot those machines for me as well. Well, in our case, let's go ahead and select this first cluster. Then I'll click Next, and it'll ask me where I wish to place these hosts in which host groups. So I'm going to go ahead and select the host group that we just previously created. And if these hosts or clusters of hosts that I'm adding were already previously associated with a VMM environment, maybe I'm doing a migration from an older VMM server to this VMM server, for instance, I can also check the box to reassociate those hosts with this environment. So I'll go ahead and click Next. It asks me next to fill out some basic live migration settings that I want to use. So if I'm going to support live migration for dynamic optimization or hot migration, live migration of running VMs from one host to another, I can turn that on and specify my configuration. I'll just turn it on. I'll tell it I want to use Kerberos for my authentication protocol. And I can optionally specify an available subnet. I can also specify the maximum number of simultaneous live migrations. And I think the highest number that we've currently tested, Young, is actually a couple hundred simultaneous live migrations in a clustered environment. So we can actually bump this up if our hardware would support that as well. So I'm going to go ahead and click Next, click Finish. And it'll go through the process now of reaching out to those hosts. You'll see that they appear now under my group in the northern U.S. Here's my cluster. Here's my hosts. And it's actually going through the process now of pushing out the VMM agent, starting the VMM agent, determining if the Hyper-V role is installed on those hosts. If not, it'll install it. It'll restart the hosts. And then it'll start going through an inventory of those hosts to try to figure out what virtual machines may already exist on those hosts, so it can roll that into VMM. Well, Young, what do you think? Does that make sense? Is it pretty easy to install existing Windows servers as additional Hyper-V hosts in our environment?
You know, as far as I can see, it's pretty much the basic desktop skill set that you have, right? Click and add, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's really, back to what you said previously, is really kind of the concept that once you understand it, pretty much, I think the IT for IT professional, the skill set is pretty much there. It's really just understanding what this is about, building the fabric, bringing in resources into the fabric such that we form the abstraction, and then on top of it, we can deploy it for the user to use.
Yep, definitely. Well, while the Hyper-V hosts that we've added are in the process of getting the VMM agents installed and whatnot, you'll see here's one of my hosts already that's up and running now and able to be managed. While that's continuing for our second host, let's go ahead and talk about that other option that we had for adding a Windows server as a virtualization host. That was the bare metal option. So in order to use this bare metal option, there's a couple requirements that we have to meet. First, the servers that we have, they have to have baseboard management controllers as we add them in, new servers as we add them into our network. The baseboard management controllers are pretty common nowadays on most new servers that IT pros are putting into their network. They may go by different names. You know, if it's an HP server, HP calls that an ILO card in the server. If it's a Dell server, Dell calls that a Dell Remote Access Controller card, a Dell DRAC card. And if it's an IBM server, IBM calls those RACF cards. But commonly, you'll see these baseboard management controllers being in servers nowadays, and it allows management software like VMM to talk to the server at a hardware level over the network, prior to any operating system even being on that box. And what VMM is going to use that for in this case is to tell those servers with those baseboard management controllers to power on and boot to the network. And as part of that process, when they boot to the network, VMM is going to install the base Hyper-V or Windows Server operating system on them, spin up the Hyper-V role, and then add in the VMM agent and configure them as a new host. So the idea is that as our data center capacity needs to expand, we just order new servers, plug them into our network, and use VMM to automatically power them on and get them pre-configured as a standard hypervisor host on our network, a standard virtualization host on our network. Well, in order for that option to work, there's a couple components that need to be set up in addition to our servers having baseboard management controllers. One piece that needs to be set up, I'm just going to cancel out of this for a moment, is we need to have a Pixie server up and running on our network. Now, the Pixie servers are basically the pre-boot servers that when our servers boot up in a bare metal configuration, they're going to boot up and they're going to look for a server that they can boot across the network from. Well, that server is a Pixie server. And in our environment, we can use Windows Server 2012 with the included Windows Deployment Services or WDS role to serve that function as a Pixie server. You'll see I have one added in already. So I previously built a Server 2012 box, installed the Windows Deployment Server role on it, and then I right-clicked on my Pixie server node under my servers and added that in using the Add Pixie Server choice. That deploys that server as a server that we can leverage when bare metal servers boot to the network to push out a standard host configuration. Well, that standard host configuration is also something that needs to be set up. We need to tell our VMM console and our WDS server, our Pixie server, what type of configuration we want to put on these new hosts. And that's done by specifying a host level profile. So under my library area in VMM, what I would do is I would go into my host profiles category under profiles. I'd right-click and create a new host profile. You'll see I have one here already. If I double-click on my host profile, I'll be able to go into the properties. So I'll go ahead and right-click, go into properties here. And the properties of my host profile allow me to specify my hardware configuration of how I want my network and disk to be laid out on that host at a physical level. It also specifies my operating system configuration of how I want the operating system, the server operating system, to be installed and what domain I want it to plug into. And then I have host settings like my placement path that I can push out to have a standard placement path where my new virtual machines would be stored. Once I have my host profile configured, once I have my Pixie server added in, and I have my baseboard management controllers and my spare metal servers all set up and ready to go and communicate on the network, then I'm ready to add new bare metal hosts. So if I go over to one of my host groups, again, I can right-click, add Hyper-V hosts and clusters, and now instead of selecting to add Windows servers from a trusted, untrusted, or perimeter network, I'd instead use that fourth option to add new physical computers, new servers that have no OS on them, and do a bare metal deployment to them. So I'll click Next. I'll browse out to a Run As credential that allows me to authenticate to the baseboard controller, the baseboard management controller on those servers. So I've got an out-of-band admin set of credentials that I previously defined. And I need to specify which protocol the baseboard management controller uses on those bare metal servers. There's two common protocols, IPMI and SMASH. But if you have a third-party OEM protocol, VMM is actually extensible. You can install additional protocols in to the list if your OEM supports it. Well, we'll say that our new servers that we're plugging into the network support the IPMI protocol, so I'll select that. I'll click Next. And now we need to specify IP range information of where these new servers and their baseboard management controllers are going to exist so that VMM can find it. So I'm just going to specify my IP subnet. information, and VMM will scan across this subnet now looking for new baseboard management controllers. So when I click next, it'll identify where my new bare metal servers are. I'll be able to select under provisioning options my host profile, and under deployment customizations, optionally set some additional customized settings that override some of those host profile settings. When I click next after that, it'll go through the process of actually pushing out my standard OS image that's defined in my host profile, my additional customization settings. It'll install the Hyper-V role, the VMM agent, and within just a few minutes, I'll have new virtualization hosts that I can now distribute VMs across as part of my private cloud fabric. That's pretty awesome from my standpoint. I mean, just a few minutes. You can go from bare metal servers being plugged in and racked on your network into having useful resources for deploying new compute, new virtual machines on your compute fabric. Young, what do you think? Is that pretty cool from your standpoint? Are you excited about this capability?
I think it's just amazing. It's really amazing, you know. if you look at this, we're building the fabric, and now you can do bare metal deployment. That really tells us a lot, because now with VMM in place, you can basically manage your physical machine, your virtual machine, your private cloud that we're building, and later, you know, hopefully we will get to that point, is we can also manage public cloud. So from physical machine all the way to your virtualized infrastructure, to your private cloud, to your public cloud, if you have an off-premise deployment, this is one platform that gives you all that capability. I think it's just, it's something that really opens up your eye, make you think really, okay, now I have something that I can put it in place and really use it as sort of the baseline to manage everything to transition into cloud computing. I think it's pretty exciting.
Yeah, no, definitely. And you're absolutely right. You know, after our compute fabric's in place, the next step is to think about how we leverage that from a private cloud standpoint by defining and delegating private cloud resource pools. And actually, in our next episode, we'll be going through the definition and the securing and delegation of private clouds. And then a little bit later on in our series, we'll be covering the public cloud side too and talk about some hybrid models for extending clouds across on-premise resources all the way up into public cloud offerings like our Windows Azure compute platform, cloud platform, definitely. Well, we've talked a lot about adding new Windows Server Hyper-V hosts or Hyper-V server hosts into our compute fabric. But remember, we also had those other options for adding in existing virtualization hosts that are running Citrix Zen Server or VMware ESX. For adding Citrix Zen Server hosts and clusters in, it's as easy as installing the System Center Management Pack, System Center Integration Pack, rather, on those Citrix Zen Server hosts, and then adding them into VMM by selecting the Citrix Zen Server option. We'd specify the computer names, specify the Run As account and host group information, click Next, and boom, we've got them in place. We've got them up and running in our VMM environment. For VMware, virtualization hosts, it's actually a two-step process, because ESX and ESXi VMware hosts can only be managed across the network from a vCenter server. So if you have existing VMware virtualization hosts in your environment, the first step would be going down to the vCenter servers folder or node in our server fabric, right-click, and we'd first add our VMware vCenter server in. Once our vCenter server is added in, then we can go up to the appropriate host groups and right-click on those host groups and add into those host groups the ESX hosts or clusters that are managed through that vCenter server. So it's actually a two-step process, because we're using vCenter as our management interface, since that's the interface that VMware provides for over-the-network management of multiple ESX hosts. Young, from your standpoint, does it all make sense so far? Any thoughts or questions?
Well, I think it's pretty cool. You can add Zen Server and vCenter in, and then you can manage a heterogeneous virtualization solution. Now, previously you mentioned using Pixie Server, and that's cool, because then you can do deployment, right? Now, I also noticed there's an update server. Is that your WSS? Can I integrate this with my patching solution?
Yeah, so you were seeing the update server node in our server fabric as well. And absolutely, we have the ability, if you have existing WSUS servers that are that you're using for Windows Server update services, you can integrate those into VMM as well. And the reason that we offer this capability is in talking with IT pros worldwide, we realized that IT pros would prefer a different update strategy for managing updates for their compute fabric that's separate from managing updates to client operating systems or perhaps even operating systems that are running inside of the VM. In the compute fabric, we want a very structured approach typically because there's so much that's dependent upon a stable compute fabric. So when we're using VMM, the common approach is to use your WSUS server from a VMM management point of view to control and deploy updates across your compute hosts in a very structured way, taking advantage of live migration and whatnot to move VMs off of hosts, apply the updates one host at a time, and then roll through the other updates to the other hosts in your fabric without any downtime to your VMs. Whereas you might still use for your client operating systems and your VM workloads, you might still use System Center Config Manager integrated with WSUS or WSUS directly to manage updates in a more automated approval process for those client operating systems and VM workloads where there's not as much that's riding on top of the updates to those operating systems. So we certainly can. And actually, in Episode 9, we'll be talking about the process of configuring WSUS, adding it into VMM, and then using it for fabric updates as well. Yep, definitely. So now we've got our compute fabric pretty well built out. We've got all of our hosts and host clusters added in. But before we stop here, I just wanted to point out that we do have some additional control over how host resources are leveraged. And we have that control both at a host group level, where we can assign host reserves and dynamic optimization properties and whatnot, as well as at an individual host level. So if we drill into a host group, and it could be our all hosts group, or it could be one of the subgroups beneath it, and then look at our properties, we'll see that at a group level, we have the ability to drill into things like host reserves and specify a certain level of CPU, memory, disk, and network resources that are reserved for the host operating system itself. These values are the default values, and we can customize them, but the intent of these values is to provide, ensure that the host operating system has enough CPU, memory, disk, and network resources so that VMs that are placed on top of it are not starving the host from being able to properly operate. In addition, at a host group level, we also have the ability to set dynamic optimization properties where we can set low watermark thresholds that when a host gets to a particular low watermark of CPU utilization or memory utilization, it'll trigger dynamic optimization and look for other hosts where perhaps the resource utilization is higher, that it can move the virtual machines live from those other hosts to this host because it's not as utilized. The idea behind dynamic optimization then is to try to balance utilization across your entire compute fabric by distributing the virtual machines across that compute fabric, equalizing resource utilization and improving overall responsiveness. In addition, we have the ability to set custom placement rules at a host group or host level. So you'll notice here that we've got right above my host reserves this placement rules area. This is kind of cool. What it allows us to do is if we have certain virtual machine templates or application services or whatnot, we can actually set custom properties on our host groups or on our individual hosts or clusters of hosts that have to match those same properties in our VM and application service templates when we deploy them. So for instance, we could add in a placement rule here that says the hosts that are in this host group have to match a particular custom property value. And you'll notice that we've got these custom property values that are by default labeled 1 through 10. But if we click on cancel here, we can actually define our own custom properties right over here and add those in. So let's step through the process of saying, well, we want to have all of the hosts in this host group be usable only for running workloads that are for the research department, we'll say, or the research business unit within our organization. So what we can do is we can click on Manage Custom Properties, and we can create a new custom property. So I'll create a new custom property called Business Unit. And we can add a description for that. Click OK. And now we can take Business Unit and add that in and assign that to this particular host group. So now we can say, for Business Unit, if I click OK here, if we go over to our placement rules, first we can define our Business Unit value. So we can say that this is for our Research Business Unit. And if we go over to our placement rules, we'll say that when we add in a placement rule, that Business Unit should now appear in our list, so we can pick that from our list. And then from our requirements, we can say that the virtual machine must match the host in order to be placed on any hosts in this host group. So that's got some really powerful capabilities of taking custom metadata and assigning them at a host group level, or if I cancel out here, drill down to an individual host, we can vary this by individual host as well. So we can have different custom property values on individual hosts and then have placement rules that are defined at a host level as well. So we've got the ability to customize that at a host level, at a cluster level, or at a group level to get some really granular controls over which virtual machines, which service templates, which applications are available for deployment across which hosts or groups of hosts. Well, Young, from your standpoint, what do you think? Does that give you some additional capabilities from an IT pro standpoint of really controlling how workloads are being distributed across your environment?
In fact, I think the interesting point here is many IT professionals, when they talk about building the infrastructure or building cloud, they keep thinking about the technical piece of it. And what you have just demonstrated, there's really two pieces of it. One is like the resource management. The other is really the business administration, right? So you can have limitation in terms of this host group, in terms of the resource consumption, that how you want to make sure that it has is enough both CPU or storage or networking bandwidth. At the same time, you also have business rules that you have to apply. For this particular research group, we want it to deploy to this particular host group for whatever the reason, either geographic location or some certain business rule, or for particular, you know, classification of whatever we have defined. That business rule is also here. So for IT professional, I think the takeaway is, you know, as we move into the cloud computing era, it's not just the technical piece of it. It's also we need to getting very close to the business. And this is where it shows that we also need to have some consideration in terms of the business rule that we can implement at the same time.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. No, it gives us great capabilities of really aligning business strategy in a very agile way, business requirements in an agile way to our underlying technology platforms. Great. Well, let's drop back over into our deck and close out our session today. So, Young, we've just gone through a demo in our lab environment together of adding in hosts and clusters, organizing them into host groups in a way that's meaningful to our business requirements, and then being able to place additional optimization rules on top of those hosts or host groups for reserving a certain capacity for the underlying host operating system, for being able to have dynamic optimization to ensure that there's some consistency in how our virtual machine workloads are being run across our various virtualization hosts in our compute fabric, and also being able to define additional customized placement rules based on data that's meaningful to our organizations for determining how best to place individual virtual machines or application services that could involve multiple virtual machines across the various hosts in our private cloud fabric. So I think, you know, from what we've seen today, the IT pros that I talk to, when they realize the power that VMM provides, It just gives them a sudden realization of how much additional control they'll have and how much more time they can save by taking advantage of these features. Do your IT pros feel similarly?
I think the one thing about all this VMM-based infrastructure or virtualized infrastructure is VMM actually had the fabric in it, right? So I think for IT pro, they need to get used to not just think about infrastructure. When it comes to cloud computing, you need to think about fabric, yep. right? It's all about fabric. It's no longer just individual infrastructure. It's about the resource pool, the three resource pool we have, which is the compute, the network, and the storage. And I think also IT pro need to grasp a concept is, why we put it in a resource pool? Why not just call it like, you know, I have 50 servers, as opposed to call it a resource pool? Because resource pool suggests a number of things. One is the standardization. Now, you talk about all this profile you're building, right? All this setting that you're building. It's a give you a usage pattern or give you some rules in place. So there's a standardization in place. And once you standardize it, what's the next thing you want to do? You want to automate it so you can kind of produce it very quickly, right? And then once you can produce it very quickly, the next thing is to optimize it. So the resource pooling really suggests something really big. It's the beginning of something really big. We're doing the standardization phase, right? Once we're able to do that, we can generate, you know, massive amount of resource that for a user to use, and then we can optimize it. So this is the beginning of a great story. IT professional must recognize the opportunity that's presented to us, right? And think about fabric and kind of build a fabric and then build upon it. I think it's just something big is coming, as I can envision.
Definitely. And the exciting piece is that as IT pros, we have the ability to pretty easily spin up lab environments to be able to work with a lot of the technologies that we've been talking about in this series. You know, out on our Cloud Lab site, we've got a variety of different cloud-based lab exercises for IT pros where you can spin up, leveraging our Windows Azure cloud platform, lab environments ranging from Server 2012, System Center 2012, SharePoint 2013, SQL 2012, even Windows 8 and Linux. And so from that standpoint, what a few years ago was a really difficult process for IT pros to allocate hardware, to prepare an evaluation or pilot or test environment, now is just really easy. So I'd encourage all of you to take advantage of our free Cloud Lab site, step through those step-by-step guides, activate your free Windows Azure subscription offer, and start working with the technology so that you can start realizing how it can best support your business initiatives and your business organization. As you go through those labs, certainly if you need some additional assistance along the way, well, every Friday on a weekly basis from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern Time, we have a luncheon lab, Early Experts Virtual Study Hall, where you can connect virtually together with our team of technical evangelists like Young and myself and the others on our team, work through any of those labs in our cloud lab area. And as you have questions, you can raise your hand electronically, submit your questions, and get live expert feedback so that you have the best of both worlds of being able to step through the labs that you feel are most meaningful to you, for being able to understand how these technologies can really impact your organization. And at the same time, when you need help, we're there to help you as well. So feel free to browse out to our virtual study hall link. Check out the program. Let us know what labs you're looking for if you don't see the labs that you want, and we'll work really hard to get those added in. Well, Young, thanks so much for joining us today to talk with me about configuring our compute fabric with System Center 2012 Service Pack 1 Virtual Machine Manager.
Well, thank you very much. I guess we will continue this discussion, and then perhaps I'll see you next time.
Yeah, no, definitely. And thank you, everyone, for joining our episode today as well. Next time, in Episode 7, we'll be coming back around to look at creating our private cloud out of the resources that we've pulled together in our fabric and beginning to delegate access to that private cloud to either junior administrators within our organization or other application owners or business unit IT teams. So it'll be a great episode. I encourage you to join us back when that's available. So look forward to seeing you in Episode 7.